Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, where we have more fun than you know what to do with. We actually started a minute earlier tonight than we normally do. That's pretty amazing for us at BBS Radio. And we also keep forgetting to welcome 1340 Tan Talk Radio, 1400 Tan Talk, and all the people down in Florida. Anyway, tonight we have what we call a open mic show. It's the end of the year. It's a chance to for everybody to call in and just talk about anything. I don't really care what. Get acquainted more. The call-in numbers are 530-776-5154. A toll-free number from U.S. and Canada is 877-489-6350. We've covered a lot of topics this year, and we're going to cover a lot more. We've got a lot of exciting stuff happening over at YouTube right now. We've got a very high presence there. A lot of these shows are being posted over there, and we're getting ready to do some video stuff, new video stuff. Marcos is coming up here from he lives down in South America, in Paraguay. He runs our Rays of Truth TV site, and those of you that didn't see a lot of updates through December, well, we're going to make up for it in January because we're going to go out. We've got a high-definition television camera now, a Sony, a new one, and we're going to take that puppy out. We're going to be filming some of the sites where we had contacts, and it's going to be a pretty cool update in January for the RaysOfTruth.tv website. Well, anyway, I'm waiting for a call so we can discuss stuff. We can talk about your New Year's resolutions. That's probably pretty important. I know that I resolved several years not to have any more New Year's resolutions because I kept breaking them all the time. It didn't seem to work. The more resoluting I did, the worse it got. So then I ended up with a guilty conscience. I don't know if you guys feel that way, but... And also we can discuss some of the shows, and if you have any questions, now's the time, because we'll have a lot of guests coming out next year. But most people right now, because it's the holidays, are hard to reach. The people that I really want to come on aren't available. So we get something all to ourselves tonight. So I'm waiting for a caller. We have another direct line, which is 530-876-9916. And we have... And like I say, the toll-free number is 877-489-6350. So we're looking for some callers. We're just hanging out tonight. I've been working on my inside track book, believe it or not. That takes forever, but it's coming along. And it's important to cover the quantum side of it and the consciousness side of it. So I've been doing that. And, you know, we just got a lot of new stuff. We got some more new products coming out. One of those is very interesting. A lot of people out there this time of year get very depressed. And there's been a lot of tests done. And I've got that new equipment line which puts out a 471 nanometer, which is ultraviolet almost, white light. And it's great for depression because it raises the serotonin levels in the body. I'm going to have the vice president of that company to develop that on. It's very, very popular selling product worldwide, especially people on the East Coast in England and places like that that have depression problems. This is far better than any MOA inhibitor or SSRI drugs. So that's one of our new products. It's up on the website, but we really haven't gotten into it. We've had great luck with our sound chimes from Randy Masters and our Balmer series hydrogen generator chimes, and they're pretty amazing. I keep one right here by the phone. You can hear it right now if you want. It's right there. You know, these things are amazing for opening up and block chakras, and they're amazing for all kinds of other things regarding the optic and the olfactory nerves. With the optic nerve, when you remember the sound, you know, energy is sound powered and light separated. So we start getting into the sound, it has a tremendous effect on the body by using these sound generators. I use this thing 5 times, 10 times a day, this one tuning fork, which is available. It's tuned out at 172.74318 cycles per second. That's a pretty accurate. When you go out about 1 to 5 decimal places for a tuning fork, you know that it's working pretty good. A lot of times, if you go in a doctor's office, you'll see tuning forks in there. They won't be as accurate as the one that we make over here with Randy Masters, but they're pretty amazing. So I'd like to hear what you guys are going to be doing for New Year's. Caller, hello, who's calling in?
Hello.
Who's this?
Hi, Dr. Bell. My name is Albert.
What's your name?
Albert.
Albert, where are you calling from, Albert?
New York City. I was
there. Oh, Big Apple.
Yes, New York City. We're getting sort of a heat wave in December.
What's the temperature there tonight like?
I think it's in the mid-40s.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not too far off from what it is here in Laguna Beach. We're just about 50.
Oh, Laguna Beach is beautiful. I lived in California. It's quite an amazing place. And you live on top of this amazing vortex, so I'd rather be out there.
Yeah, you can normally see it, but we moved the camera away from the paintings because we had our Christmas set up. We'll be switching that back so people can look at the paintings, you know?
Right.
We'll be back there the last week of March. You probably know that anyway, right?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I bought your your super receptor, actually.
Cool.
And it's quite amazing. I have two questions, actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, the first question is, I was listening to your December 7th show, and you're going...
Pearl Harbor special, yeah.
That I noticed is not on the archives because it was really hard for me to follow because you're giving out so much physics.
Do you get Sean David Morton's publication at all?
No.
It's at SeanDavidMorton.com. And you can look it up on. I wrote a big article for that. It's coming out, and then in my new book, I've got it. And I'm going to put it up on the. I think on the Rays of Truth TV. There's a big article. But yeah, it's really important now, in order to understand all of the changes that are going on worldwide with the assassination of this lovely lady yesterday, Miss Bhutto in Pakistan. It shows you what a prison planet we're on, and how, and when we go into quantum stuff, we're going to negate that instantaneously. There's no way that you could ever clean up the karma that these people create when they perform acts like assassinations. It does not. It makes things worse. Actually, in this case, I think it kind of united Pakistan, you know, which is not what Al Qaeda, if they were behind it, wanted. But anyhow, that aside, what did you need to know? I can go over some of that if you want to know.
Yeah, you were giving out some pretty fascinating information how we are all linked on an atomic level, and that accounts for. I mean, and that's really something that's quite mind-boggling. And I've been reading your book. I think is it the Rays of Truth? Or
that's a good book.
Oh yeah, and you know what you cover on that particular show sort of seems, takes a little bit beyond, a lot more in-depth coverage.
Yeah, the Rays of Truth didn't go quantum. We only had, we just basically had Niels Bohr's work in there, and that was to lay out the energy band levels of the hydrogen atom. You know, I think we went out 6 levels or so. That's all that's in that book.
Well, okay, let me try to phrase the question. I think you were getting into the concept how one person at point A can affect another person in point B. I wonder if it's a string theory. It has to do with the resonance of one person being similar to the resonance of another person.
Right.
And I wonder if you can just elaborate on that. It was that's something I wanted to listen again to the archive, but since it's
well,
not there.
You know, if you had two people that knew each other, and one person liked hot showers, the other one liked cold showers. One person liked rock music, the other person liked heavy metal. Okay, you call both person A and B. Eventually, if these people know each other, they'll gain or glean characteristics of each other. It could be that the hot shower person now likes cold showers, or the rock and roll person suddenly likes heavy metal. That's what's called quantum entanglement. And it doesn't always occur on a conscious level. And this is a very broad example. And what happens is when you use, normally in a laboratory, what they've been doing to send quantum information is they have a what's called a normal or a physical connection, you know, a standard connection, and then they have a quantum connection. And the quantum connection is that each lab has a series of photons set up to spin up or down, you know, right up or down, north or south polarity. And they're sitting there, and what happens is they'll take the physical connection, and they will cause, they will send it to both sensors or detectors that detect polarized light, because when you look at a photon to determine its coding, let's say you got two up and one down, and that's what the generation is being done, all the physical connection is doing is saying that the detector is going to detect on the receiving end three photon changes. It doesn't know what they are. There is a physical connection limited to the speed of light with this experiment. However, the detectors that have the random photons in them, there is no connection other than this trigger to start it. And so usually what happens is you get about a 98% repeat patterns of the polarization of photons on both detectors simultaneously and instantaneously, regardless of what the distance is. And that's what most of the experiments have been around. But what happened was, when you add consciousness, consciousness comes through the hydrogen atom, and any time you raise a level of electrons around a hydrogen atom by stimulating it with light or heat, or you lower it by stimulating it with cold temperature very cold superconductor temperatures, it emits photons, and it emits them in these different shells. Well, what happens in life is that you have people, we've had so many lives now, and we're kind of running out of reincarnating cycles, that you have so many people that have had interchanges. In other words, you might have kids, and then the kids might have in a past life been your father or mother or grandfather, and so everybody, to a degree, is somewhat connected now. So what happens is, there is entanglement that has occurred. Once entanglement occurs, it's forever. Because in the hologram, when we look at the hologram of life, of what it is, there isn't any time ever. There is no time. And the only thing that measures time is our ability to perceive through our brain, you know, the brain power. And the brain is hooked to the mind, and the mind doesn't even have any time. So basically what we're saying is we're all connected, but it doesn't do us a lot of good unless we start ferreting out those connections. So the first things that happen in most people's lives is that the phone rings and you know who's on it. You don't have any doubt, because that's an entanglement. But the phone here, the ringing of the phone, is the physical connection. But you know instantaneously that who's on the other line, or you know that the phone is going to ring. And it then rings, and you know when it does ring who's going to be calling. Okay, that's entanglement. Now, if you know who's going to be on that phone before it rings, then you know that's pure entanglement, and that's beyond the speed of light. That's the basic parameters. That can go for remote viewing. It can go for the reason that dogs and certain animals can detect certain scents. Because they're entangled with chemicals, they're entangled with a criminal, if it's a dog hunting a criminal, there's an entanglement when a dog is given a scent. The dog doesn't have all the limitations of the human speech that we have. It's instantaneously intuitive. But it's all about entanglement, it's all about the hologram. And that's how it all starts. So what we have done over the years is we've also realized that there's a second thing that goes on. That's called, we call it shutter speed. That means that in one instant, everything is before the Big Bang, and the next instant, it's all out where it is. And so there's a vibratory rate that occurs between the time that we perceive the Big Bang to have occurred, which is something like 13 billion years ago, to this point now. So we have in our minds placed, you know, in our brain minds, and we have placed a given distance over time, but the fact is it's not true. It's all instantaneous. And so when you start realizing the spontaneity and how instantaneous it is, then things can happen much faster, because you can go into something and put consciousness to it and realize the change. So when I developed the Theradyne projector system from the Andromedans, first of all, the Andromedans don't have time as we know it. They live, if we were to measure how long they're in existence, about 5,000 years, but they don't think of it that way. And so they are, and then in 5,000 years, they kind of dematerialize and they are back again. So their blinking of the eye is 5,000 of our years, whereas our blinking of the eye is so fast that we don't even notice them. And I'm not talking about the physical eyes. I'm talking about the spaces in between the moments of the Big Bang having not occurred and the Big Bang occurring 13 million years ago. And the yogi masters like Jesus and people like that, they were able to move their consciousness into those between seconds, between manifestation as we know it and creation before it occurs. And that's the first thing that Jesus demonstrated, for example, was invisibility by going into that space. High technology spaceships that move around, that blink in and out, use that technology, and they move rather quickly, but they're not moving so fast. It appears that way because they don't have to move around in time. So with these projector systems that we developed over time, it automatically synchronizes the human aura. You know, you have a receptor now, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. See, the receptor, it's a device that gets your DNA lined up and gets you ready to go into it. It speeds up the synapse points in your body eventually after you get all the detox toxins out of your body and you get your frequencies, your chakra system balanced. It speeds up your awareness. So it increases your bandwidth of your vision, it increases the bandwidth of your ears, and your entire being is increased in bandwidth. That's why we always suggest people use their receptor for a time before they go into the projector technology. When you go into the re-spiraling the DNA, it's a re-spiraling effect of DNA. When you get into the projector technology, it's a wave device. Schrodinger wave equations would be one area to look at to understand it. But the bottom line is, because if you look at the front of the projector and the receptor, it has the Fibonacci series.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, and also, if you look out in space, you'll see a shape of spiral nebulas. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are spiraling out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason that you see that, if you look at your DNA, it's two spirals intertwined. Okay, when you get into that, that's the root of the structure of the hologram, and that's where you start getting into the string theory and how the string theory works. So, because realize that the string theory falls into what's called Planck's constant, which makes things very small. It's minus numbers in physics, minus numbers. I think it's 10 to the minus 35th, which is very small. If you look at Planck energy, when you start looking at the string theory, it's not of energy. But it's like a tuning fork. That's why we have these hydrogen tuning forks, because it enhances that, and the receptor causes the hydrogen atom to ring on its true frequency and not be distorted. So therefore, it causes the DNA to re-spiral, and your physical body starts to get, the aging process slows down and starts to reverse itself. Okay, so that's what's happening with the receptor. But when you take two of those discs and put them side by side, the energies go into each other. And it forms an infinity pattern with one little pyramid there in the middle. It has four crossed X's in the center of it. And what that does is that despirals DNA, but not off the body. It despirals DNA into the fourth dimension. So what we're really saying is that on one level, we're resonating the hydrogen atom to become a receiver of consciousness and producing a receiver for entanglement. And in the second level, we are creating an entanglement situation, and you direct your consciousness into it, and then you have your experiences, you know, wishes or whatever. And that's primarily what we're doing. And I'm, in my new book, I'm explaining it. I'm going back 6 BC to a guy named Thale that was the inspiration to a lot of the late Galileo and all the later scientists and astronomers. They were all, there was a guy named Thale that was really the hot dog, the hot incarnate back, you know, 600 years before Christ, that really started all this off. And so I'm making it very basic. And the other thing that I noticed, and I'm putting it in my book, is the guys came in waves. After Thale's time, different guys came around, and then there was not a whole lot of activity until probably around the 1600s, there was a few guys that incarnated. And it was real interesting when you look at the lives of these different people, including Thale himself. They weren't these guys that sat around in a laboratory and had a, you know, had a, you know, slide rule or the equivalent of it. These guys were wild. As a matter of fact, one of the later guys that I'm writing about actually used to work in a topless bar, and he got a Nobel Peace Prize from his attainment. And he died a few years ago of a heart attack. Erwin Schrodinger, for example, the Schrodinger equations is huge in physics. And that's what Einstein built his relativity off of. He was a womanizer, and he was cheating on his wife when he came up with the Schrodinger equation. When he took off from where he lived and went to another country with his girlfriend and came up with the equation. So I'm looking at the human side of these guys too. I mean, and then I'm bringing that all forward. You look at the human side, the scientific side, and it humanizes and it personalizes the whole scientific phenomenon or paradigm of the whole thing to get it where it is today. Because now that we see where all this came from, and including me, who I'm kind of a wild person too, you know, I have been over my life, you see where we've come to this, and now we've come up to the point where people that weren't quite as friendly as we are have put the world on the brink of destruction, and so the only way we're going to fix it is through working through the hologram and through the DNA, through these wave devices. So that's what the whole purpose of what I've been doing for the last 35 years with Pyridine, you know, is making all this stuff happen.
No, thanks for going over that, Fred. It actually makes a lot more sense. I mean,
if you have any more questions, let me know, because it's talking to people like you on this show or out in my lectures that gives me the input, because what I know doesn't do you a bit of good or anybody else. And I don't have any answers. You guys have the answers. All I can do is present the problems and my ideas of solutions, but those aren't answers, you know?
Well, my second question is about the receptor. I noticed that, you know, just wearing it for a few months, it got very tarnished and cruddy, and I noticed that I felt very sluggish.
Yeah. First of all, are you washing it off every day?
Oh, I do. I do. Yeah. I wash it off.
What happens when you don't wash it off for 2 or 3 days?
Yeah, I every day I give it a 33-minute bath. I think Michaela mentioned in cold water. But I took it to a jewelry service yesterday, and I got the tarnish off. I said, just put it in a bath and clean it up, and I feel a lot better. I mean, for some reason, I'm not sure if this is quite common, but do you somehow, in a way, bond with the energy of the receptor?
Yeah, you do. Your body does, because what happens is that when you're dealing with a hydrogen atom, which that is, okay, and it's like a lens, and into your DNA, and that hole in the middle of it is where the scalar wave frequencies that are generated by it, the upside down, right side up pyramids, are generated by it, and they shoot into that gemstone that's out on the front, and then it reflects back through that little hole on a radionic level, which is really a scalar, or it's really a quantum level, and it comes back in. Very subtly, and hits your aura field, which then goes right into your brain, and then your brain is set on the right frequency. What color stone do you have?
Of ruby red.
Okay, so you're working with pituitary. Pituitary is when you work with somebody with pituitary, say, versus amethyst, you're going to be a lot more sensitive with pituitary because you're dealing with what's called the tropic hormone center. And every single endocrine gland, which is basically every hormone, is your consciousness, is going to be affected. Whereas if you're working with thyroid or some of the other ones, the whole body's not going to be changed by a deviation in that receptor, whereas that one it will, and because of the color. So you're going to be more sensitive, and what happens is when you wear it and you're kneading it, you're oxidizing the surface of it, and that's what the blackness is. And are you in Manhattan or somewhere?
Oh, deep in the close, you know, Soho. I'm right in the.
Okay, Soho. Yeah, you're right downtown there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and there's lots of cars every day, and so there's lots of carbon monoxide in the air, and there's lots of carbon dioxide in the air, and it just the thing is working away, and it's attacking that. It's attacking because it's a sensitized device. It attacks the surface of the thing and turns it black. You know, eventually you'll probably want to get into a harder metal like gold or something. Or you can gold plate that one, and then you won't have that problem. But that is a common problem, and it does affect the performance of it. You know, now, some people won't go from silver. One of my clients, Ken Norton, the boxer, he goes over to a jeweler that's near his house about twice a month and gets the thing, you know, shined up again. I offered to give him a gold one, you know, in exchange, because he is a friend of mine, and you know, he does advertise for us, and he's a cool guy. He wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take it. He says, no, silver works for me. That's what I started with. That's what I'm going to finish with. I said, okay, Ken. You know, you don't argue with this 220-pound guy that's a perfect shape world champion boxer, you know. And he has a diamond in it, and he hasn't changed stones, and it works great for him. So it depends on what you find, what your niche is, and then you just kind of go with it, you know.
Well, the interesting thing is that I wasn't focusing on the pituitary for this reason. I wanted to work on the lower three chakras and the organs down there, and I asked Steve Farish, and,
yeah.
And he and I both felt the red was good for the lower three chakras, and I'm really feeling those areas very balanced now.
Yeah, well, they will, because the tropic hormone, your energy level should have gone up some.
I feel a lot healthier in the lower three chakras, especially the male organs. I mean, before, it was really sluggish, and I was having problems with it. Now I feel the energy moving.
Yeah, that's good.
And I wonder, when is a good time to start to shift the stones? I noticed in reading some of your texts that you recommend changing the stones because your body changes.
Yeah, yeah. We always, you know, that's your first receptor, so you'll definitely need a stone change. But when, I don't know, because we have to come back there and muscle test you or get Steve to muscle test you, you know, again.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's good timing. That'll be, well, that's just 2 months away.
Yeah, so about that time, and you'll have had it since whenever we were there, October. So you'll have had it, what, 6 months? So that'll be about the right time for a test.
Oh, I know. I know. So it's really, it's great you guys are coming back.
Yeah.
You got a great team there. I really love meeting Michaela, and I think your other gentleman, the two of them, and Steve.
Yeah.
But I didn't get a chance to meet you, but I think that your lecture was quite amazing. It was really good.
Yeah, I was a little busy back there when we were there. Yeah, we'll come and do that show. Mark wants me to do it twice a year, but I'll do it twice, and then I'll probably cut it back to once a year. I don't have the time to do it every. And I know when we come in March what the temperature is going to be like.
Well, you know, we're getting like a heat wave. It's you never know. I mean, we sometimes New York, it does get, you know, our winter doesn't kick in until February, March.
Yeah,
like,
well, I've been back there in March 2 years ago, about 10 years ago. I remember 1 year, I was going to a telescope shop down under the 59th Street Bridge, and I was going to walk over there, and that was a big mistake. I had a big coat on, and I had a mask, you know, a scarf, and I was freezing. My face was getting ripped.
Yeah, well,
cold.
From Laguna Beach, that's, yeah, I used to live in, I know that area, it's, you're going to take a little while to acclimatize, but,
yeah.
All right, so Fred, thanks a lot for your information. I'll let someone else get on and take, you know, take another call.
Okay, well, thanks for calling in.
Okay, have a great new year.
Yeah, you too.
Bye now.
Bye. You're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. It's what we call the open mic night, you know, and I don't care what you want to talk about. I'll talk about anything tonight. I'm pretty relaxed. The phone number is, what is the phone number? Here we go. It's toll free, 888-228-4494. And Canada, it's also 877-489-6350. And then we have direct line of 530-776-5154. So give us a call. Hanging out, testing some of this stuff. Now's the time. By the way, the archives, I know, are going up slow, as you know, as they usually do over here at BBS. And if you go down to the bottom there on the front page and you look around in there, you'll see a link to the older archives, and there's 2 or 3 years worth of shows on there. We haven't had time to name those shows. It's like, I like to listen to them, put a name on them. There's some pretty good shows back in there if you want to. That's a pretty interesting guest. Hopefully I'm going to get some of these cosmologists on next year. We're starting to line up some pretty interesting guests to make this, keep this out there as a leader. But during the holidays, the first week or two around Christmas, it's pretty hard to get the people I want. It's even hard for me to do a show because it's nice to just kick back and do nothing. But, you know, we're loyal to our listeners.
So anyway, hi, Fred.
All ends will be appreciated, you know, if you want to talk about something.
Hey, Fred, this is Scott.
Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
Fantastic. This is Scott from Ohio.
Well, how are you doing? I haven't talked to Scott from Ohio in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I was wondering, a question on the ring of past knot.
Yeah, ring past knot. Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't seem to be a lot of information about that.
There isn't.
And what I was wondering is how do we accomplish going through that?
Oh, well, that's, you know, right now it's pretty easy because we're not into serial life incarnation. Before, for the last several thousand years, actually 12,000 years, we've been into serial incarnation. Now we're into parallel. But what it is that there's a field between the Earth and the Moon. That's just, you know, it's from metaphysical terms, that's the boundaries that they use. Basically, it's a solar system.
Okay.
And what happens is, depending on the vibratory frequency of our aura, we'll resonate for a certain period of time with the Earth. Because a lot of people were created here, younger souls. There are souls that came here before Earth was created and came and went, but a lot of people didn't, and they came from what's called an oversoul, where, you know, bugs are there, and an animal comes along, eats a bug, and another animal eats another animal, and then the ape-like creature is formed, and you know, we evolve up to a certain point, and then there's a extraterrestrial, usually, insemination of some of these primeval forms, and then they evolve up a little less hair on them. I can't say that, you know, people behave much better in some cases, and obviously there are certain areas in the world where it's very tribal still.
Yes.
So if it's a tribal thing, you can pretty much count on the ring path not going to be, so that energy is not going to be allowed to go anywhere. It's in the hologram, but it's not permeated all through the hologram. It's in a section of it, but it's very weak. There, when you look at, if you were to look at a honeycomb and call that a hologram,
yes,
there would be certain layers storing honey that would be a lot more concentrated than others. Follow me?
Yes.
So as a result, how to know when you're free of it, it's pretty much when you're free of your earthly desires, you know? If you don't feel like you want to kill your neighbor anymore or rob a bank or wish harm on anyone, that's a good indication you're getting there. And that's pretty hard to not get to that point in a fit of anger. So you can always gauge yourself when you're really, really, really mad.
Okay.
You know? Like
right.
Maybe somebody just harmed one of your children or something in your family. Real test of compassion. And when you can pass those tests and basically create a karmic field where you don't have to take them anymore, then you're pretty much free of it, you know. That's the best way I could explain it.
Okay.
I don't know, how do you feel about it? Do you feel like you like it here in this world, or you want to get out, or what?
Well, that's, I hear a lot of people saying that they want to get out of here, but actually the earth plane I see is one of the most beautiful places. I mean, I feel that's why we're here. That's why we have chosen to be here.
It's because, heaven and hell.
You know, it's awesome. I mean, any experience, whatever you want to do or feel, it's here. It's available. And, you know, whichever you choose to experience that. So I think it's awesome here. You know,
yeah.
I really do. This is a fantastic, earth plane is so fantastic. And you see so many of these people that are light workers, and they want to leave. And I keep wondering, why do they keep wanting to leave?
Because they're really not light workers. You
okay.
know, light workers to me is almost a disease. Not putting down light workers, but
yes,
there are a lot of people that think they're light workers, and we have a saying in Tibetan, that is, the mind is the slayer of the real, and energy follows thought. So to think to get out of here, is not really working, getting out of here. And a lot of times, one of the things that I've rationalized this in my own way is that I feel that I could probably leave permanently, but I also know that I've had relatives here in past lives. I've got, you know, three daughters here now. They are not free, as far as I can tell. Maybe one of them is, but I'm not saying, you know, if that's true or not.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a judge of that. And they're going to have kids, and heck, I might want to reincarnate again and come back one day when the serial stuff starts up again. So I'm real comfortable with that because, you know, I have journeyed to other places, and I've seen some more utopic societies. But what happens with me, I find it boring.
Right.
You sit by a, you know, with a stable of beautiful souls in a big mansion by a beautiful river, and somebody's rubbing your back all day long, and you're eating fruit and honey.
Right.
That's boring after a while, to be honest with you. You know, I'd rather
agree.
Get downtown Watts and help a drug addict.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Get some excitement. That's my take on the whole thing, and that's why I do what I do, you know?
Well, I definitely resonate to that.
Yeah. So, to me, you get down in the trenches, and just like this poor lady that just got assassinated yesterday in India, this Buddha, I've been following her life for a long time. I mean, I was aware of her, and she was a well-educated woman, and she knew a lot of our ex-presidents, pretty much all of them that are alive, came from a privileged family, but never took the privilege. Put her life on the line, as her family did. And it was just, you know, it was just pure stupidity that she has to stick her head out of that vehicle, that car that she was in yesterday, and get that shrapnel and get her head bumped or whatever. She died. But the bottom line was, people like that, you know, she'll be back.
Right.
That's what, to me, seeing people like that, and Mother Teresa, you know.
Yes, right.
They're amazing people.
Right.
And I've been around some of these people. I'm just blown, I'm humbled by them, you know.
Sure, yes.
And,
I'm with you. Another thing that is the big talk, you know, the 2012, you know, we're 5 years from 2012, and it is the 2012. Where do you stand with that? It's just something that's really
the rapture, the Christian rapture. That's a guy thought that up. I forget his name, back around the 1800s. You know, the rapture. Everybody's
uh-huh.
going to be taken away one day, and the good people will be taken away.
Uh-huh.
And the bad people will be left here. Well, I see it the other way around. Bad people are going to get taken away. If you want to do a rapture prediction, the good people are going to be here. Because
right.
that's such a prejudiced statement about, you know, what are these beautiful babies that are born just flawless, you know?
Right.
So my whole stand on the next 5 years is that ignorance is going to recognize itself. That's what I feel is going to happen. I mean, people like the Bush administration and Cheney actually think in their own mind that they are pulling the wool over our eyes with their behavior. You know, this man, you know, they wanted to impeach Clinton. You could impeach Bush for far more crimes against the Constitution and against our country and against our people and against humanity in general, war crimes, on a daily basis.
Right.
And is anybody standing up? No, nobody's doing anything. They're just going to let this guy get out of office and go out, and he's going to, in 5 years from now, he's not going to be very happy. You know, people like him aren't going to be happy anymore. Don Rumsfeld and his company over there at Merck, and those guys, you know, putting all this angel dust in these Tamiflu vaccinations and putting it into all these SSRI drugs like Effexor and Xanax, all laced with piperidine and cyclohexane. And cyclohexane, which makes angel dust, you know,
right.
which makes people, you know, homicidal, suicidal. It's the only place they're going. They're going to pay a price for this, you know. And so, it seems that, you know, in 5 years, that will focus a little bit more on itself. Now, what the results of that are, I don't know. It'll be real interesting to be here and watch it, though. It'll be probably make television boring. It's already getting boring now, but the news is just sad, you know.
Right.
The news is not exciting, it's just sad, the way it's covered. So I think that the tempo is going to increase a little bit more. Just watching the election, the people running for election, you know, right now, that's a real interesting story. You know, I mean, each one of those people, I mean, Barack Obama would probably be the most of my choice of a presidential candidate of all of them. But, you know, with Giuliani in there making his fear, you know, pushing the Bush fear thing.
Right.
I mean, that's what terrorists are all about. You know, they're working for the terrorists when they do that. We know that. You know it.
Yes.
And the American public knew it when we had the orange alert and the red alert and the brown alert on the airports. Pretty soon, nobody gave a damn anymore.
Right.
And so, now that doesn't work, so they just dropped it, you know. Anything to manipulate it. And now we got to get our habeas corpus back, and we got to get our right to free speech back, and we got to get this creeping fascism beast turned around. I think it'll get turned around. People are starting to wake up now. Even the people that go to McDonald's twice a day are starting to wake up to this, because their hamburger prices are going to be going up, you know.
Do you think that the Masonic program that George Washington brought forth, is that part of this program that Bush, is he in that program or outside of that program, the Masonic?
Well, you know, the Masonic stuff, what they were all into, Benjamin Franklin, you know, like I said earlier when I was talking to the other caller, look at the character of these guys. Now, Benjamin Franklin, who was a big part of this, okay, cheated on his wife, was shacking up with a chick in France, you know, he became ambassador to France, but Benjamin Franklin was quite a bit of a jerk in his private life. He didn't pay any attention to his own kids. He never talked to his daughter. You know, he had a 45-year-old daughter when he died, and she never saw him once or twice. George Washington, he was quite an aristocrat. He had a hell of an ego. He did a lot of great things, but it was Ethan Allen that put a fire in his butt because he wouldn't start the fight. It was Ethan Allen.
Uh-huh.
Who was an entirely different guy that got the war going. It sure wasn't George Washington. And Washington hung in there because he was embarrassed, you know, being an aristocrat. And, of course, he was a target of the British aristocracy. So he was in there fighting for his ego, as far as I'm concerned, you know. Stuff about chopping down cherry trees and stuff doesn't really do it for me. I study these people as a historian, and I like to look into their lives. Thomas Jefferson was another one. He had a horrible family life. He had four kids die on him, you know?
Right.
But what kind of, his two daughters and two sons died, and I think his wife died, too. That didn't do him any good. These guys had some real brutal stuff come down on their personal lives. I always look into their personal lives, and I recommend everybody do that when you start looking at the character of, say, the Masonic Order. The Masonic Order, me, doesn't have any power anymore, if you want my honest opinion. It's lost its power.
I'm wondering, though, I know these radionic devices, you know, I think that they still have, you know, they're using a lot of that. I mean, the obelisk in D.C., I had a chance to go there this year and study, and
yeah.
they have a heck of a radionic device set up right there. That thing,
well, they got it,
interdimensional.
But that's the thing is, they're using radionics, and unfortunately, those are scalar wave technology, as it's used there, coming to naught. It's not going to be working very well. The hologram is much more powerful because scalar stuff is mind influence, and quantum entanglement is the fact. It's just like, this is how it is. We don't care if you like it or not. There's no karma here. This is the way it's going to be. And so the people that get on top of the entanglement process and really become one with it, are going to be the ones that are winning. And I don't see Bush and these guys on top of that.
Uh-huh.
I see the government studying it. I see that they're using quantum entanglement for these new computers, these crystal computers, and I'm seeing them try to use it in their satellite system. But I'm seeing privateers doing a heck of a lot more than they are that really understand it. So it's going to, the stuff, the obelisks and Even the Washington Monument had an energy. It's in a particular point. These things all worked on the old ley line energy.
Right.
The old
vortex
energy. And to be honest with you, we're now entangling with other planets. We're entangling with other civilizations. So those old ley lines are just, you know, if you're the only person, if there's five people on the world and you build yourself a pyramid, you can do whatever you want with that pyramid.
Okay.
You can tell people what it is, what it does, and it'll have an effect on them. But when everybody's got one, it doesn't matter anymore. you got to go to the force within the pyramid itself, the energy within it, the life force. And so entanglement's dealing with the life force. And I have an old saying, don't screw around with Mother Nature. And entanglement is definitely, it determines species. It determines subspecies. It's the root of entanglement.
Yes.
Is your DNA. So I think we're going in a much stronger, stronger generation now in science and everything. And science is, it's always, remember, if you look back at the time, religion would always suppress science. If you said that the sun went around the earth went around the sun, you're going to get burned at the stake. But if the sun went around the earth, you're cool. In Copernicus' time,
Yeah.
And so we're at that point now where we dictate as scientists what happens. And how do we dictate is we present it to the masses and let them figure it out. And that's not been done before. It's been suppressed, put in laboratories behind closed doors. Hey, we're wide open now.
So you don't feel as though the ley lines that they have right now are holding our third dimension in the form that it's in?
No, absolutely not.
We're beyond that now.
No, it's over.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, Hitler was the last one to get anything out of ley lines. And if you understand how, that he couldn't, with his ley line stuff, he never could get to Britain. All the white witches in Britain were constantly doing chants and incantations. Remember, Britain is an old metaphysical place with the Druids. The Druids were fighting the Third Reich, and they're one. We needed to have those air battles with the RAF, but not one darn boat ever got across a 14-mile channel, even when they had Belgium, in their wrap. They could not get on the English shores. They could bomb it, fly over it. They couldn't get there because England blocked the ley lines with their own energy. They blocked it well. So, if you look at history, ley line stuff, I went to Echtenstein. Echtenstein is in northern Germany. It's like the core of the ley lines for Germany. And there's about a 10,000-year-old slab built into the side of a hill. It's got a top and a bottom. It's like two big slabs stuck in a hillside.
Okay.
And the bottom of the lower slab is shaped like a human body. And so you climb up in this slab, and you lay in this 10,000-year-old slab shaped like a human body. And you really feel the energy of that, and that's where all the chief battle instructors and programmers of the Third Reich, the Battle of the Bulge, was programmed right out of that slab in Echtenstein. You can look it up on the internet.
Wow.
So that was like the peak of ley line warfare, And in medieval times, it was pretty common to fight on the ley lines. They were very aware. The kings all in England had, and a lot of other countries had their astronomer, their royal scientist, or whatever you want to call them, and they were all informed, like Merlin with King Arthur and all of these different guys. They were all scientific advisors for these different dynasties, and they were very, you didn't mess with the priest. Back in Egypt, when you look at the Cheops pyramid, well, there's one over there on the side, the third one on the plain, it's the Marasenus pyramid. He was the priest for Khepren. So, you look around, this is something that's been going on for a while,
Right. And
it's obsolete now. It's just,
well, let me tell you a real quick thing that happened to me. Through divine intervention, I was sent to Washington in August of this year. And
right.
The 27th, there was a lunar eclipse. The north and the northern and southern district, 33rd degree Masonic order, met first time in ever in their history as a single group.
Wow.
And just so happened, they booked me in the same hotel that they were in, and it was six blocks north of the Capitol on Scott's Circle, which is just another 13 blocks is the lodge, the headquarters, the 33rd degree.
Right.
And they did ceremony, and out of the whole thing, I talked to the guy at the desk. there was, you know, 60 or 70 of these guys there, but there was only four of them that got up during the eclipse before it actually started. So within this, they have circles within the circles. And
right.
So actually, even with the north and south meeting, the best I could tell, there was only four people that was knowledgeable. But those four people used that time to program into this ley line. So they're still doing it.
But they're doing it out of ignorance and fear now.
Okay. That's what I was wanting you to have your awareness, because I feel as if we can negate what they're doing, then this war and this Bush factor that's going on, it will be negated. That has some powers laying behind that, and it's through this Masonic order.
Yeah, no, I was initiated when I was very, very young into the Rosicrucians, into the 33 degree, when I was a kid.
Yes.
Matter of fact, I just got for Christmas a May issue of Life magazine. Mattel gave it to me, a May issue of Life magazine from 1955 or 56.
Uh-huh.
And on the front cover of it is a Lazy Susan that my dad designed. This is 1956 now, out in Palm Springs.
Uh-huh.
And it's Life magazine. Inside of it, you know, because I read this to Mikkel the other day, there's an article. Not about Lazy Susan, but I'm just saying, if you want to look it up on the internet, that's the one.
Yeah.
But the article says, it talks about, as a matter of fact, I could read it to you, about the government looking for... right now, because of the breaking, you know, the severity of the Iron Curtain, we are looking for young people to become. We have a vast shortage of scientists in America. In fact, can you hold a second? I'll go get it. You want me to read it?
Sure.
Yeah, hold on a minute.
Sure.
Yeah, hold on.
Thanks, Fred. We appreciate that.
And the reason I bring this up is because people never really believed, you know, what I had to say, because I was so young when I got indoctrinated into the government, you know?
Right.
And I'm just skimming through here to find the article. And this is back when Khrushchev was the, you know, the prime minister. And just trying to see if I can find it here in a little bit of time we got left. And here I come across this article, and this is, I knew it because I lived it, and I remember seeing this, but here's this darn Life magazine with this article in it, you know?
Yes.
And it's the May 7th, 56 issue. I recommend everybody get it. You can order it from Life magazine, you know?
Nice.
I'm just seeing if I can find it now here. Pride of Totality of NATO. Articles. Wretched lot of poor foot. Evil's plague. Just looking at how they... just looking at how they wrote in those days is really interesting. And I found this article, and I'm saying, my God, this is exactly the program I got into. And it was just before that I had been initiated into the 33 degree order. But then after that, I dropped the Rosicrucians because it didn't make any sense. You know,
uh-huh.
I outgrew them.
Yes.
But it's fascinating as a young kid to be seeing these sacred rites, but you know,
right.
I just didn't, it just didn't resonate with me after a while. And these guys are still doing it, and that's been a long time.
Something else that I came across over there, National, I think it's National Geographic. You can send your blood in, and they'll say, okay, this is your family tree. But I'm just wondering if they're just not trying to find out what is out there, what is across the land, you know. If everybody sends their blood in and then they get everything on a computer, then they can say, you know, you're from this race or this particular whatever, this lineage, and they can maybe have, you know, a little bit more pinpointing reasons for certain people. I don't know, but I just thought that was something different that's going on now.
Are you using our projector stuff yet?
No, still the receptor.
You're about ready for the projector. You're going to go to another level when you get into one of those. You are, you know,
yes.
You are. This article is a huge magazine. You're going to have some real fun with it. With what you're now, I can tell right away your knowledge, and it's going to take you. It's going to give you some insight because it does despiral the DNA into the fourth dimension. So it's kind of a waking up process, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, uh
huh.
what happened was I'd made myself a really powerful one, and I gave it to Mikhail, and she won't give it back. I've got to go make another one. She found that every time she wishes something on it, it happens. And of course, here it is. I'll just read a tiny bit of it.
Yes.
This is on page 147.
Okay.
It's called A Bold Strategy to Beat Shortage. MIT president presents four-point plan to get scientists. Now, I was U of M, part of Ivy League, okay? And this is in 56, and they got me in 58. That's when they got me, 2 years later. And it starts out, the current scarcity of scientists and engineers has become one of the best advertised shortages of our time, thanks to eager recruiting by employee-hungry companies and the intelligence of the Soviets' educational output in these fields larger than that of the U.S. industrialists. Educators and public officials are ringing in the alarm. We are flooded with diagnostic studies to explain the shortage. And so what they're basically saying is here, we need young blood in the government, in these scientific circles, because what few people are there are being absorbed into the, you know, into corporate. And so that when I was at the University of Michigan, they grabbed me so fast. I mean, it would be like, it would be a dream for somebody, for a college to come after them, like Harvard or Cambridge or something. They came to me, and I had a secret clearance overnight. They were talking to my parents, and I'm in the ninth grade at Tappan Junior High School, and this is all going on. I've got the credentials put up on the BBS website, but I mean that's how aggressive it was.
So how did they know to target you?
Oh, because my dad was an alumni at the University of Michigan.
Okay.
And I was working in a laboratory under Dr. Katz, who was Hitler's number one, one of his number one scientists on his bomb project. It came over on paperclip at the end of the war. So I was working for him. And so there was a lot of government presence. We were funded by, the OSI was in there. There was Office of Special Investigations. That was pre-CIA days. And, so I was in there, and the FBI was there. They were looking at everybody, you know, because the war had just ended.
Right.
And the kids that were smart, you know, like me and Stephen Eberbaugh, this other kid that I was working with, they grabbed us. I mean, Stephen's dad was more powerful than mine was, and he owned a chain of pharmacies around the East Coast. But Steve disappeared. I still today can't find him. He went off on one of the really clandestine projects and never came back. Yeah. Well, anyway, I think we just ran out of time.
possibly some off-planet journeying.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, I hope we answered some questions out there. And
oh, fantastic. We love you, Fred, and appreciate your work and your help.
Yeah, well, you're getting to know me a little bit more now. And it's nice to have these fireside chats once in a while, like we had tonight, you know.
Yes, very much so.
All right, well, I got to close the show
down.
Thanks for everybody, all the guests, for being on tonight. And Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. We'll have new guests next year. This is the last show. I get tomorrow night's show pre-recorded. This is the last live show until 2008, so I guess I'll be seeing everybody in about a year. So with that, I'm just got to get out of here. You know, I mean, I don't know what else to do. I don't know what else to say. So I think I'm going to take my hydroplane tonight and see what I can get out of that puppy, you know. You never know what the hydroplane's going to do. And hopefully it'll start. Well, I guess we're taking off with the other old music here. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Have a great, safe new year. Stay sober.
Hello.